Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm joining you live tonight around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WRB 3.185, and we're glad to have you in here as we are going to conclude tonight part three of the Apostle Paul, saint or sinner? That's the question, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, in most instances in the New Testament, that's a $64 question, because Paul wrote the largest majority of the New Testament. 13 and possibly 14 books is credited to the Apostle Paul. So then, if that's true, that he's a prolific writer, and Peter acknowledged that some wrestle with the scriptures that he wrote to their own death and destruction. For instance, if we go to Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 13, he said, you know, let no man judge you in meat or drink. Well, everybody just jumps right onto that scripture and says, oh, you see that? We can eat anything we want, and we can drink anything we want. You ain't got a right to judge me, glory to God. Now see, that's the way the carnal mind would jump right all over that. Paul, who had the unique ability, and that's why that the Father chose him, Peter said, you know, many of the ignorant and unlearned now, wrestle with the scriptures of Paul to their own death and destruction. And that's what, this is a classic example. He said, when he said, let no man judge you in meat and drink. Well, there ain't no Christian that I know of that would approve of you drinking a gallon of Jack Daniels and trying to get up and preach a sermon. You know, what if a preacher just opened him up a Budweiser, you know, and instead of drinking water, you know, opened him up a Bud and popped the top and the foam started spewing around or uncorked a bottle of champagne and drunk three or four bottles of champagne. By the end of the message, you know, he's out, he never was in the spirit to start with, let's say. You see, you have to use some discernment here. Yahweh wants you to search the scriptures and to look underneath the surface of the word as it appears because of translation errors and language barriers. A lot of people don't understand the difference between the Greek word and the English word or the Hebrew word versus the Greek word. And so a lot of this value is lost in translation. It's just like if you type up a legal document, you better have the word just right. You could get yourself hung in a legal dispute, and you could wind up in trouble, and you could lose the battle because of bad language or bad interpretation or using the choice of wrong words. Here it says, let no man judge you in meat or drink or in a Sabbath day. We say, well, bless God. Paul said, I didn't have to keep no Sabbath day. They jump all over that scripture when the scriptures clearly indicate that the fourth commandment said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then all of the book of Ezekiel talks about, especially in the 20th chapter there, that they taught the men to break the Sabbath and encourage men to do so. Well, the Christians do the same thing that the dumb Israelites were doing. They just wanted an excuse to keep from keeping Yahweh's new moons and Sabbaths and keeping his laws. Paul didn't tell you to do away with that when he said, let no man judge you in a holy day or a Sabbath. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that you would be keeping those as opposed to breaking them, as most Christians say, I don't have to keep them, so, bless God, I ain't breaking the law because Paul told me I didn't have to keep it to start with. Paul didn't do no such thing. It's a misunderstanding of the collection of the process of understanding. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets. Now, the English translation is this. It says that these well-known words of the Messiah immediately imply two things. There are false prophets, and they're dangerous. The existence of true and false are the danger of deception in the Christian life, which is not limited to the life and times of the Messiah or Moses before him. They also warned of people in Israel against false prophets, as I read to you night before last, in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 18, which specifically talks about, that these false prophets would work miracles and signs and wonders, insomuch that they're going to change the Bible. And say, well, Paul told me, bless God, I didn't have to do this. See, it's interpretation. When Paul was not telling you to break Yahweh's laws. Paul himself was a righteous Pharisee. He was trained under the law. He knew the mechanics of the law. He knew its purposes. But the fact is, he knew more than the average Pharisee. He certainly knew more than the Jews who were trying to do it outwardly. And Paul was saying, well, the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. You people are trying to keep a spiritual law with a carnal understanding. And the same thing applies now to the Christians who read the New Testament scriptures and say, well, Paul said, bless God, I could eat anything I want to. There ain't no such thing as unclean food. Well, in the Bible, in Leviticus, unclean food was recorded in there that swines, we'll talk about pork here, swine's flesh, what we call them down here in the South is porkers. And, man, I've eaten my share of it. But I didn't have nobody to tell me. I mean, my dad was deceived, just like probably your dad was. And, man, we was raised on this stuff. But now I haven't eaten pork in 20 years. That's the first 48 years of my life, man. I gobbled it up I really like it. I like sausage and eggs and biscuits and gravy and tenderloin. Man, it was awesomely good. And to be frank and honest with you, I missed it when I quit it. Just like I miss my cigarettes when I quit smoking them. There's things that you got to, you don't go around drinking strychnine because it's good for some things. It has got good purposes, but it also could be detrimental to your health if you drink enough of it. So, now, I got to assure you that you've got to be very careful in your interpretation of what Paul meant with unclean foods or breaking the Sabbath or in respect to a holy day, which he said is a shadow of things to come. Now, you're casting a shadow here with your understanding of the law, which in the end time, he said, that the Sabbath would actually judge you in the end. Or it's stated in Isaiah 66, verse 22-23, where it said, in the new millennial kingdom, that you will keep the Sabbath from one new moon. That's what he was talking about. That's a shadow of things to come. Now, if it's telling you to not let no man judge you, if you're keeping it, no man can judge you. But if you're not keeping Yahweh's laws and you're not keeping his Sabbaths, then the word itself judges you, and your own heart judges you. Especially when you relate it to the word, and the Bible said, we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. If you don't really know, then your conscience is seared with a hard iron. It don't really matter to you. You don't care. You've been traditionalized so long like I was that I thought eating pork was cool. Man, we get that bacon and, we raised our own pork back then. We fattened our hogs up and we slaughtered those babies down when it got a good frosty morning. And we would get that water boiling real hot. And where we'd scald the hog and scrape that hair out that sucker. And we'd split him down the middle and take his guts out. And we ate everything but the squeal. I mean, we made sauce meat out of the brains. We ate the ear. The brain. I can't believe this, but it almost makes me sick to even talk about it now, let alone eating it. But we were so dumb and led away with the error of the wicked, or the misinterpreters and all of these lies that we had bought into, that we just didn't understand the scriptures. And the first thing that the lying false prophet does is he tells you, oh, that's okay. He announces events and says wonderful things and things of this nature. Well, if those things don't come true, we say, well, he's a false prophet. But the Bible says in 13:1 Deuteronomy, if these things come true, he's still a false prophet. So you can't judge these signs and wonders, these great marvelous speakers and things of this nature. And that's exactly why you can get in trouble by listening to anything but the Bible, and give it a spiritual interpretation, not a self-righteous, hypocritical separate. Now, there's false visions. You see, you can very easily get a vision of what the word means, and you could be entirely wrong, and yet you think that the word is justifying you. Divinations. You know, these people say, well, you know, we examine, you know, the entrails of the animals, and it's not really proven that these things hurt you. It is a staple food. It's very cheap. And so we don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, the Bible says don't even touch a swine, let alone eat it. I didn't know that scripture's in the Bible. Probably if you'd have told me back then, I could have cared less. You tell me on a frosty morning, I'm out there slaughtering that hog, and I'm taking that big strip of tenderloin that grows up his back. I rip that out, you know, and my mom would always get that, and she would go to the house, and she'd fry up that tenderloin and make a big old bowl of gravy, and put those big soda biscuits in the oven, and she'd bake them till they got golden brown. And honey, she'd bring a big pot of boiling coffee out there, and we'd all run over to the spring house, and we had the water pipe right out of her spring, and it was just a gushing out there, and we'd get some lye soap and wash our hands and that greasy pig stuff off our hands, and man, we'd sit down there and we'd have that breakfast, and whew, man, that was good. Well, at least we thought it was. Now, I could never do that, because my knowledge of his word, by spiritual enlightenment, but divination of it's a form of being getting the false information. It seems right, and there is a way that seems right, or idolatry, the breaking of the first 10 commandments. It's the third form of false prophecy, ladies and gentlemen. And Paul was not into these false visions and divinations and idolatries. He was telling you what the word meant. He was giving you the interpretation of the originality of the spiritual implications of the law, not the natural implications of the carnal mind. Which Christians say, well, say, bless God, see, that's a carnal mind that interprets it in that light. And he can give you a false sense of hope. The Bible said, that they would come up before him and just know in their heart that they've done things to please him, because they have been led by the error of the wicked and sent a strong delusion to believe a lie and to be damned. And if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And that's why Paul was chosen, because of his master ability. He was a master author. He was given the special anointing and special ability to write in such a way that law could be interpreted two different ways. Carnal, and the Bible said, are you not yet carnal, having begun in the flesh, the spirit that you are now made perfect by the flesh? See, the flesh can take over here. And the tradition can take over here. And if you think it's all right to break these laws and to do these things, then you're going to get suckered in by the ability of Peter saying that many of the ignorant and unlearned, that's people that don't really know the spiritual implication of breaking Yahweh's law. As opposed to saying, oh, we don't have to do that no more. now these people that you know, it's like they come along and they say, oh, Paul said it's all right to break the law and you don't have to keep it. So they just rub out the New Testament without trying to discern, without trying to interpretate. And man, they start slaughtering Paul and calling him all kinds of bad names. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why that we're doing this three-part series here, to set the record straight and let you know that the fourfold message of the false prophet is he has his own gospel. He has his own Messiah. He has his own spirit. And he certainly, ladies and gentlemen, has his own anointing. Now, if you're surprised that he has his own gospel, don't be. If Paul was a false prophet and inspired by the devil, as these people believe he was, because they say he came in to start the Christian church, and therefore that he done away with God's law. Well, ladies and gentlemen, who really started this church? Wasn't it the Messiah who said that he come to bring in a better covenant? And yet, these sacred name believers want to stay under the old covenant. And they turn themselves into Pharisees and judges to condemn. In other words, they have their own gospel. They really invent their own by taking Paul and cutting it out of the Bible. They have their own Messiah. You know, and the Bible said there's many antichrists. 1 John 2:18. There's many false Christs. Matthew 24:24. He did come in the flesh, didn't he? He did die, didn't he? Well, why did he die? If the law could have saved you, he come and died in vain had he not been appointed to bring in a better covenant, which is exactly what he was. This is what Paul was talking about. Now, he said, you brethren that believe in circumcision of the flesh, he said, neither circumcision or uncircumcision or non-circumcision availeth anything. He didn't condemn either one of them. It's all right to you to do both of them or choose one of them. But what he wanted you to get was the heart circumcised, not the flesh, and run around and say, oh, I've got my penis circumcised, and I'm a circumcised law keeper. Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't run around brag because you've got your penis circumcised. Because women don't have to be circumcised. And they can be saved, can't they? They do have a covenant for our sister, don't they? They do have rights, don't they? Well, if circumcision was required by the law, then we'd have to circumcise the sisters. And nowhere in the Bible does it say to circumcise the sisters. If that was a requirement for you to get to heaven, that's what Paul was talking about. Look, he said circumcision don't avail anything. Neither non-circumcision. In other words, if you're circumcised, be thankful. Because it was given as a sign. You're just keeping one of the signs of Yahweh. And when you do that, you acknowledge him. But if you don't do it, but you got your heart circumcised, that's what Paul was saying. You're more justified in the heart circumcision than a Pharisee in his own trust of his own flesh, saying, well, I've got to be a man of God because I've got my penis circumcised. Big deal. Big deal. So what? That don't make you perfect. You know what makes you perfect? Bringing in the other hope or the better hope, or bringing in that second covenant that Paul was alluding to. And the Christians, the sacred name, Paul bashers, I call them. Buddy and Jimmy, you better watch. I'm warning you. This is 3 hours of continuous warning that you need to circumcise your heart and get your mind off the circumcision of the flesh. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it is so evident. It is so evident that Paul's talking about what you need to do as opposed to what you think he needs to do. Now, when these Israelites, we're going to get into the book of Romans, and then in Romans 1 and 4, notice, the physical resurrection of the Messiah, where they say he didn't raise from the dead. These sacred names, these are sacred names. I know sacred name people that says he faked his resurrection. These idiotic idiots. Ladies and gentlemen, I just got to be, although the speech is rude and in somewhat a cruel manner, sometimes it takes a hard saying to break this bond or spell that's growing that Paul was a false prophet. Paul became the apostle to those who were scattered abroad who were not Gentiles. But the word Gentiles been superimposed over ethnic, a race. And who were these? Now let me explain to you just as exactly what we mean by kingdom movement, by being a kingdom identity people. We are the descendants of what are erroneously known as the lost tribes of Israel, who went into Assyrian captivity for the rebellion against Yahweh and lost their identity, as it's recorded in Hosea 1, verse 10. Now, these people, over time, escaped from Assyrian captivity and made their way west and north to Western Europe, the British Isles, into Australia, down under, and then even into South Africa, and we know that these are the true people of Israel. For the Messiah said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. No other nations of people have readily accepted the message. The Judeo-Christian pastors, which are educated in Jew-tainted seminars, or cemeteries, what I'd rather put them, will tell you that the 10 tribes who went into captivity were lost in the fog of history, and that today the Jews are all that's left. That's all they talk about. The Jews are God's chosen people. The Jews are God's chosen people. The Jews are God's chosen people. And then when preachers like myself come about teaching that the identity of the other 10 tribes, which is what we're bringing to the front, and Paul was a master builder on that foundation, by telling these blind Judeans who couldn't see their nose for the fog and still in a fog and a stupor because there's a certain faction of those that claim to be Jews and are not, but are nothing but liars and slow bellies and false prophets. And then we got a lot of in Yahweh's name. These Judeo-Christian, the Jews, that's God's chosen people, honey. Glory to God. Don't you say nothing about them sweet living Jews, please, God. You may not like them, honey, but you better learn to live with them because God loves Jerusalem. And God's coming back to Jerusalem. And he's going to set in his temple. That's all a lie. That ain't going to happen. He didn't even set any when he was here the first time, and I don't see any reason since they killed him and set away with him and let his blood be upon us. Now, you think that God's chosen people killed him? He told them who they were. He said, your father's a devil, and the works of your father he'll do. You were the seed of Cain. We better get our story straight here. And the Apostle Paul had that revelation. That Apostle Paul knew that when he went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul was educated as a Jewish Pharisee. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the risen Father, like I said, he called the Jews a synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2 and 9, 3 and 9. He said, them that say they're Jews, not those that are, but them that say they are. Just like those who say that Paul is false and call themselves righteous because they're circumcised. And they say that Paul come to preach and do away with circumcision. Glory to God. Paul, educated, a Pharisee, though he was an Israelite by birth from the tribe of Benjamin, Romans 11 and 1, read it right there for yourself. He wasn't a Jew. wake up and smell the coffee. He was a descendant of those. He was a brethren. He called them brethren that are scattered abroad. He knew that that was his brethren that had left. Now, that's only after he got weaned from sucking the breast of the Pharisee doctrine that they think they're self-righteous in, and because they're circumcised, and because they teach these physical attributes of the law, and because they can say certain Hebrew words. We got these Jewish wannabes. They make me sick. Just because you can say a Hebrew word, you think that makes you somebody that God is going to pay a special attention to you just because you can speak Hebrew. And we got some of these old crude speech boys like myself. We come along and preach out of the abundance of our heart through the revelation of the Spirit in the heart circumcised and tell you that you do not have to be circumcised to go to heaven. There's no such thing as a male or a female in heaven anyway. What would circumcision have to do with it? And let me repeat this now. For you uneducated idiots, and let me speak boldly and plainly to you idiots, and I want you to hear my word for you. You are nothing but a bona fide idiot to believe that if you are circumcised in the flesh, you got a leg up on the family plan. Ladies and gentlemen, he gave you all these things under the law, and it proved you couldn't keep them. The law was to show you your weaknesses, not your strengths. The law was to condemn you in the flesh, and it will. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, when Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles, who at the time, this remnant that had settled in Asia Minor, Paul's missionary work was all in this region. And when he wanted to go to Asia to preach, he was restrained by the Holy Spirit in Acts 16, verses 7 through 10. It said, don't go there. The reason was obvious. Paul's ministry was to be for the people Israel who had lost their identity and were now contemptuously called Gentiles by the Jews. Our brainwashed pastors still call us Gentiles. I'm saying it again. You brainwashed idiots that are still calling the Israelites the lost sheep of the house of Jacob. You're still calling us Gentiles. When the Messiah said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, go not to the Gentile, but go to the lost sheep. Matthew 15:24. Go only to the lost sheep. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Gentiles. And we got these brainwashed BB brain preachers out of some dead seminary through a Judo-Christian philosophy of seem right, of a carnal understanding, saying, honey, the Jews, that's God's chosen people now all over yonder. There was no word said to go to Jerusalem and get the Jews and recruit them. It said, go into the isles. Go scattered abroad. Go, go, go. Go to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. That's what he's talking about. These Paul bashers, oh, they love to point out that no one was a witness to Paul's conversion. Oh, really? Ladies and gentlemen, and they say, oh, you just have to take his word. That was Paul's. That was Paul's testimony. Now, the fact that a voice spoke to him in Acts chapter 3 and 9, they are careful to point out that God sent a disciple named Ananias to Saul to restore his sight and baptize him in Acts chapter 9, where I have alluded to in the first 2 hours, verses 10 through 18. It's amazing how some men are willing to accept parts of the Scripture they like and to discard those and find fault with them. But when you get over to the things that prove Paul, they want to cut the whole Bible out. See, they'll quote him. They'll quote these things that makes them seem right, but when you bring up the things that make them know that they're wrong, they say, oh, we don't believe nothing you wrote anyway. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a one-way street here. It says in the volume of the book, here a little and there a little, search the scripture for you and you think you're right. If you think that circumcision is going to avail you anything, it's going to make you some kind of a holy roly, you got another thing coming. You women preachers just trying to preach without circumcision, you need to get circumcised, running your mouth, babbling like a lame duck. You know that it's awful silly. It's bad enough to see a rooster in a barnyard crowing, but it's downright insulting when they take the rooster out and let the hens start crowing. And that's exactly what happened when you get rid of a preacher that knows the word and is going to lace your panties on. You panty laced preacher, you weak kneed, humpback, knock kneed. I mean, you're pitching, toting, cross eyed. You're humpbacked. You're low down. You wear $1,000 suit. You think that's going to make you any more of, and you know, like Lazarus, who laid there with his body covered with sores and didn't have enough. He probably wore secondhand hand-me-down stuff that people felt sorry for him. He had more respect in heaven than all of those self-righteous hypocrites that were dressed up in all their riches and glory and fame and their circumcision of the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so glad I got on this message. I've felt the Holy Ghost ever since I got on it. It's long overdue for Pastor Buddy to set the record straight. And once the Spirit is spoken, you don't have no more covering for your sin. And when you come against this, when you speak after it, to know to do good and do it not to sin, you better watch out. Might be trouble for you. I'm going to preach Yahweh's message. Fit her lips, the devil puts a kink in his back. That he'd have to walk under the door to get into hell. That's where he's going with all nations that forget Yahweh. The book of Acts gives you an account of the life of the Apostle Paul, beginning with his conversion in Acts 9. His letters to the Israelite churches scattered abroad, beginning with the epistle to the Church of Rome. None were written to a Jewish Christian church. None of them. For no such animal had ever existed, and you cannot be Jewish and Christian at the same time, for they're headed in different directions and worship different gods. These letters were instructional and correctional purposes to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and Paul said, I magnify my office. And he fulfilled it quite well. And for that reason, the Jews hated him. They despised him like he despised the Christians or the believers that Peter, James, and John was making. And then when Paul got into action, he had to rebuke them because they didn't walk upright according to the gospel. That's what it says here, ladies and gentlemen. And people say, that's the reason we want to take him out there. You know that Peter, James, and John was righteous. Oh, really? I can read where Peter cursed and denied the Messiah. And I can also read in John 21 where the Messiah said, they're going to stretch forth your hands and take you where you don't want to go. They're going to do great things to you, Peter, and you're going to suffer for my name. But he also told the Apostle Paul, you will suffer for my name, and not a man in shoe leather has ever suffered for the gospel's sake like the Apostle Paul. And you've got the audacity, you better not do it in my face. You better not do it in my presence. If you want the wrath incurred upon you with the written word, and the Bible said it cuts like a sharp two-edged sword, piercing even the joint asunder down to the joint and the marrow of the bone, and is a fault and a discerner of the intent of the heart, I'll examine your heart with a word. I will not stand idly by and watch some man castigate a great prophet like Paul and say that he didn't know what he was doing. He was a master builder. He was a master technician of the words given to deceive those who were blind and those who trust in their own righteousness. Paul said, what? Listen to this. What? Are you now Are you now so blind and dumb? You know, if you hear Paul preach, he'd probably remind you a little bit of me. Are you so blind and dumb? But the Bible said, they shall speak great words against the Most High. They shall speak great words against the prophets. They shall beat you. Was Paul beaten because he's preaching a false gospel? I thought that the Bible said the devil would love his own. Paul preached and suffered more than any man outside the Messiah that ever wore the cloth of the gospel. But they shall wear out the saints of the Most High, Daniel 7:25. And they shall think to change the times and the laws. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Paul was standing for. He didn't say that you're not to keep the Sabbath. He didn't say that you're not to observe the new moon. He didn't say that. That's what the dumb, blind shepherds, these cemetery-trained preachers that's twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and don't know enough Bible to water shotgun. I mean, you know, they have to type them out a script. You know, and then they put those fancy long words in there because they think that by being so eloquent that the people will say, oh, he must have God. God has blessed him in knowledge. Listen to that long, precious word. What does it mean? I don't know. But, boy, it was beautiful when he come out of his lips. And the Bible said they love men's admiring them because they're so cemeterily trained, dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. The physical resurrection of the Messiah, oh, it didn't happen. Oh, he faked it. You sacred name believers that believe that, don't you ever get up and make your testimony when I'm in prison. If you want to incur the wrath of an anointed one that would defend the gospel and give my life for it gladly, don't you ever dare to get up in front of me at any place, any time, whether it be on the street. I'm an old street preacher. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been in the trenches and the warfare for a long time. I'm a no rat in the mill. I'm very patient. I'm very gentle. But when you incur the wrath of the Spirit in me, I'm telling you that I am readily set for the defense of the gospel, and I will come to the aid of these great men that's gone before me, even including the Messiah. And these are fathers who fell asleep, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you know that Yahweh is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and are safe? You better get into the Word. You better understand that all things work to the good of them. For they that do after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the laws of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. I don't care how many times that you have been circumcised. I don't care how many times that you've washed your feet in the laver. If you're not baptized and repented in Yahweh's name and baptized by a good old country Holy Ghost filled preacher that is taking you down in the great name and is not interested in your flesh being circumcised, but he wants that heart touched, and you obey those things by the form of the Spirit, and that's exactly what he said. But in they that are in the flesh are not in the Spirit, so be that if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit, not if any man has a circumcision sign, not if any man has washed his hands before he eats, not all of these things that the Pharisees who admired the law of Moses because they thought they had it all figured out. But Paul said the law of Moses was spiritual, and to be carnal minded is death. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, but the spirit of him that raised up. Oh, but he didn't die. You lying demons. I curse you in the name of Yahweh. You lying, rotten, filthy demons that denied the new covenant of the resurrection of the Messiah and says, where is the promise of his coming? Yeah, you know, we've been warned about you by the Apostle Paul, by the Apostle Peter, who was in 100% agreement with the right hand of fellowship. So was James. Paul was a master builder. It don't say that they were master builders. It said Paul was a master builder. Chosen out of season, not meant to be an apostle. But he said, I was chosen out because he persecuted the real church. You see, Yahweh showed him what he would have to do and suffer. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Romans, in chapter 7, verse 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. What do you delight in? Your self-righteousness? I mean, some people nearly faint when a man lights up a cigarette. Oh, God. Oh, he ain't got the Holy Ghost. Oh. I'm going to have a man smoking a cigarette or a woman smoking a cigarette and enjoying it and sit around with a bunch of condemners in the flesh. And all they can do is look for your weaknesses, not your strengths. I mean, if you were drowning, would you let a man smoking a cigarette pull you out of the water by the hair of the head?
Oh, don't touch me. You're unclean. I ain't got the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for that man in the $1,000 suit and those patent leather shoes. He's going to fly in on his jet and he'll save me in a minute.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you better let that old man that don't seem like much, he might be smoking a cigarette. But you don't know his heart. That's where Yahweh looks. Yeah, he might be eating, and you say, well, I've never eaten any pork, glory to God. Well, I've eaten it before, and I may have to eat it again. I ain't saying I won't. I don't smoke cigarettes. I ain't saying I won't light up one if my nerve gets bad enough. I ain't saying, I don't need any pork right now. I don't need anything that the Bible don't prescribe. I don't eat lobster. I don't eat snails or puppy dog tails or nothing like that, ladies and gentlemen. I don't do that. But if I was hungry enough, you better watch your puppy dog. You better hide your porker. Because if I was hungry enough, I'd eat him. Not because I'm good, but because he was good. Because I ain't good, and I never will be, neither are you. I don't care how righteous you are. For I know that in me, verse 18, Romans 7, follow me, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get the message out here tonight. Let's preach the gospel. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I admire you because you don't smoke. I admire you because you don't eat pork. I like to run around those types of people. But bless God, I've got people that smoke and eat pork, and they're still my friends. They really are. And I ain't coming down on them as long as they got that heart circumcised, and I know that they touched the gates of heaven, and that when they roll their eyes, it's just like the guy that couldn't even as much as look up. He was so sinful. He didn't even dare look up. He's so embarrassed about his life and condition of his life. But the Bible said he was more justified than the Pharisee that trusted in his own righteousness. I know that in me dwelleth no good thing, for though the will is present with me, but how to perform it is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, I do that I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Ladies and gentlemen, you ain't nothing but a sinful excuse. I don't care how you washed up and put you on $1,000 suit. That don't make you righteous. But neither would it make you righteous to put on sackcloth and rub your head full of ashes. and sit there like you are pious and you're very righteous. Oh, and you disfigure your face and you haven't eaten in 30 days and you want everybody to know it. Papa said, anoint your head when you fast and don't appear like the hypocrites who want to be seen. This is the physical outings of the law. Oh, well, look at me, glory to God. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't drink gum or chew, and I don't run around with people that do. You may need one of them one of these days to pull you up in the air of the head and save you. Hallelujah. Sin is a nature that remains in you till you die. It is actually sin. Hey, some of these people are perfect. They shouldn't die. I mean, you know, they ain't never done no sin. What the law could not do, Romans 8 and verse 3, for the law of the Spirit of life in the Messiah hath made me free from the law of sin and death. My heavens, it was a work that he done. Nothing good that you did. It was a performance based on him, not you. And I admire you for cleaning up. Please don't smoke. I mean, I got some of my brothers, every time they light up, I cringe. Not because they ain't good brothers, and because I hate them, I love them so much. I want them to stay around. I believe it shortens their life. I know it's expensive, but it's their right if they want to do it. And when the bottom line is their call, who am I to judge another man's brother? For the same judgment you judge, you shall be judged. If you say, well, you shouldn't smoke, brother. I've seen these brothers jump all over people. You shouldn't smoke. Then they'll go around and gossip. Like a silly woman. Full of gossip, debate, envy, and strife. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd rather have a man that smokes and keeps his mouth shut than this gum-flapping idiot that runs around that don't smoke, and yet he gossips all over town. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law not be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, my. For as many as you have been led by the Spirit, you are the sons of God, and you have received the spirit of bondage. For you have not received the spirit again of bondage under the weak and beggar elements of something that Moses couldn't save you with. If Moses could save you and you want to go back and keep it, if Moses saved you, then the other man that came, he said, didn't die. Oh, Pastor Betty, haven't you heard? Heard what? Oh, you need to get off this resurrection crap. Oh, really? What for? Well, don't you know that he didn't die? Oh, he didn't? No. Now he just came and he had one of his brothers stand in for him. And that brother really didn't know what was going on. He didn't think it was going to kill him, but he probably wouldn't have went. But anyway, the Messiah, he escaped and got out of town when they arrested him. Yeah, they had a stand in for him. And they put that guy to death. Oh my. Now then, I'm going to go over here to the prophecies of the Old Testament. I'm going to have to tear all of that out, right? Like you tore it out the word of Paul in the New Testament. Yahweh's going to tear all of the joy out of your heart when you're going to weep and mourn for speaking against the good man. For scarcely for a righteous man. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 7. For a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, you're just a sinner, saved by the precious anointing of the blood of the mighty God, the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace, and I don't count it an unholy thing. I'm glad he died. Because if he hadn't died for me, I certainly couldn't have died. died for him. Because my righteousness is filthy rags. He was only one worthy. Heaven was searched. Beneath the earth was searched. And not one was found worthy. And finally, there was a little hand went up in glory. And he said, I'll go. A body they have prepared for me. I'll go. I'll do it. And the devil said, you wouldn't dare to come down here and leave your glory, leave your splendor. You wouldn't dare to come out of the heavens and take me on in the third dimension. I'll twist your flesh like I did Job. I'll have him to curse you to your face. He said, oh yeah? You bring it on, Superman. The Bible said when he came in, instead of being somebody in the flesh, he became a nobody. He was laughed at. All the Pharisees thought he was a joke. That's what they think about me. That's what they think about you if you're righteous through the blood. When you know, these Pharisees, they're always checking you at the door. See if you measure up. See if you got a right garment on. See if you got this on there and this on here and this on that. And they never check the heart. The heart is the one that speaks the loudest in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know it. Only Yahweh searches the heart. You better watch your judgment. Much more then, when he died for us, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, his flesh man, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, not yours. You say, well, Pastor Bunny, I know, bless God, that I'm saved. I'm so perfect. I'm just the epitome of righteousness. Look at me. I am somebody. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, shall he be justified. He shall justify the ungodly through his faith, and it is counted for righteous, even as David described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Does this blessing come upon the circumcision only? Or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say the faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And how was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or when he was uncircumcised? No. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. For he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet to be circumcised. The faith came before the circumcision, ladies and gentlemen. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. This is in the gospel of Romans. No wonder they want to get rid of it. They don't understand. Man, it just burns them up. I hope my message burns the hell out of you. I hope you can't sleep. I hope if you're listening to me, not you Paul bashers, you unrighteous group, I hope and trust that deny the resurrection. I hope and trust that Yahweh takes sleep from your eyes till you're weary and you get on your knees and get your heart right and get it circumcised. Romans chapter 4. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who walk in the steps of that faith, our father Abraham, which while he was yet uncircumcised, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham. You see that? Everybody said, Abraham's children. That's what the Jews said. Abraham's children. To his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Not through the seed through the law, but through Isaac the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be the heirs, the faith is made void. And the promise is made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, and for where there is no law, there's no transgression. Ladies and gentlemen, I preach myself out of time. My heavens, how time has flown. And I've got to get off from here. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call here tonight, and I'm glad to have you aboard. You can call Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439 for Miracle 2 products and Vitamir. This helps to defray the cost of our broadcast. He's a great man. I love him very much. And he will take your call, business hours 9 through 5, at 1-877-289-7439. If he's not there, leave a message, and some of the employees at the office will get back with you. Brother Paul in Michigan, 1-800-253-2748 for StemTech. And ladies and gentlemen, you can write me. This is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And if you'd like to call me and you dare to do it, I might just love you. Praise Yahweh. And that's area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. I'll see ya tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. My blessings and my love is to you.
Sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree.